This is Dave Gahary reporting on the corner of Wall and Fraud. On May 17th, 1792, under a buttonwood tree right here on Wall Street, the precursor to the New York Stock Exchange was created. A few months earlier, the New York State Legislature banned public auctions, which gave rise to a private auction, the New York Stock Exchange, and it remains so to this day. Due to this private structure, the New York Stock Exchange is a naturally secretive organization and shies away from any press coverage unless portrayed in a positive patriotic light. So when a law enforcement sting brought forth evidence of inappropriate behavior of some of the New York Stock Exchange's floor brokers, a virtual can of rotting worms was opened for all to see. I'm joined today by Dominic Amorosa, who was an attorney here in New York City. He was born in 1946. He attended Rutgers University, where he graduated summa cum laude. I believe that means number one. He went to Seton Hall. He graduated magna cum laude. He was assistant U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, 72 to 74, assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, 74 to 81, chief narcotics unit, Southern District of New York, which is also known as Sydney, its abbreviation, 79 to 80, and the chief of the organized crime strike force for Sydney, 80 to 81. And in 1981, he went into private practice. He was hired by Rudy Giuliani before he was a U.S. attorney. And Mr. Amorosa represented several of these New York Stock Exchange floor brokers, and we want to get him on the line to have him explain exactly what happened in this case. Thanks for joining us, Dom.
Good morning, Dave.
Can you explain a little bit about what precipitated this scandal from being revealed to the public?
Well, in February of 1998, several floor brokers were arrested by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York and also charged by the SEC with for trading for their own accounts on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. The law at that time prohibited floor brokers, independent floor brokers on the floor, from trading for their own accounts on the floor, as they were supposed to be acting independently and on behalf of clients only. The people who were arrested in February of 1998 had profit-sharing arrangements with their customers, pursuant to which they shared profits in those customer accounts. This was done not only by the people who were arrested, by many other floor brokers on the floor. In other words, it was common practice at that time in 1998 on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for brokers to share profits with their customers. The reason it was common practice on the floor was that the New York Stock Exchange permitted it and indeed encouraged it. At that time, the stock exchange was receiving fees from its brokers based on a formula which permitted the stock exchange to receive fees based on the total amount of commissions made by the floor brokers, including monies that they made pursuant to these profit-sharing arrangements.
Okay, so what you're saying basically is that when an individual investor, like one of us or anyone in the audience, is desiring to purchase a New York Stock Exchange listed stock, of which there are approximately 3,000 of them, their order would most likely go to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, where these particular people would have privileged information, and instead of executing the order in an appropriate manner where the customer might get the best price, then what you're saying is that the New York Stock Exchange, the leadership of the New York Stock Exchange, which was headed by William Donaldson, who is now the SEC chief nominee, Bush's nominee to head the Securities and Exchange Commission, and now headed by Richard Grasso, that these fellas knew about this and they allowed it?
Well, for sure, but let me give you further some background. When an individual wants to buy some stock, he usually puts an order in with his broker, Merrill Lynch, Bear Stearns, and they in turn may hire an independent broker to execute that order on the floor. What I'm saying is that the brokers at this time, back in 1998 and earlier from 1998, while they were executing those orders, coming to them from big brokerage houses and actually placed initially by ordinary citizens, they would be also executing other trades on the Florida Stock Exchange for other entities, other customers, and in connection with those customers, they were sharing profits. So there was some natural competition going on the floor that brokers had between orders coming in from the public and really trades for their own accounts. But I want to emphasize here that the brokers on the floor who were doing this were doing it under the aegis of the New York Stock Exchange. This was being condoned by the New York Stock Exchange. Unfortunately for these brokers, they did not know that this was illegal, that it was illegal to share profits with your customers on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange because it created an interest in the account. And these brokers were therefore acting illegally, but unknowingly.
Okay.
Fact is, though, the people at the New York Stock Exchange who were running the New York Stock Exchange at that time, people like Messrs. Grasso and Donaldson. Mr. Donaldson was in when this practice began in the early 1990s, was the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange. Mr. Grasso was the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange in 1998 when it exploded.
Right.
Became well known. So what I'm trying to say to you is that while the brokers on the floor thought that they were acting honestly in doing this, that is sharing profits with their customers, they were not. This conduct was prohibited by statute, but the New York Stock Exchange permitted it nonetheless and conveyed to the brokers that they can go ahead and do this. They did that in 1990, 1991, and 1992, while Mr. Donaldson was the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, and Mr. Donaldson was actively involved in that decision.
So they violated the public trust, clearly, and now someone who was at the helm of the New York Stock Exchange is now being asked to head the nation's top securities cop?
Well, that's obviously what's happening there. It's just another, in my opinion, example of just very careless selection process going on in Washington now. I mean, this matter is not private. It's not confidential. When these people were arrested in 1998, the facts that I am relating to now became known and were published across the country in the Wall Street Journal and other publications. In other words, the defendants who were charged in 1998 didn't just sit on their duffs. They came forward and they showed that what they were doing in terms of sharing profits had been approved by the New York Stock Exchange. And it was well known in 1998, 1999, when these people were fighting those cases, that it was senior officials at the New York Stock Exchange who had approved this conduct.
Right. They approved them to illegally go in and share in the profits of their customers. And when the law enforcement officials came in and said, you shouldn't have been doing this, they said, wait a second, we were allowed to do it. And these guys took the fall. The New York Stock Exchange walked away.
Correct. Well, what the New York Stock Exchange did at that time, believe it or not, in 1998 and 1999, when these people were arrested, they said, oh my God, we're shocked that this has been going on the floor. We're going to drum these people out. These people have been acting illegally. We're terribly upset about what occurred. This is just outrageous, and we should drum them out. And from 1998 to the present, the New York Stock Exchange, not only hypocritically, but really improperly, has been hounding these people, these floor brokers, who had been engaging in this practice of profit sharing over the years, hounding them out of the New York Stock Exchange, all of which really was designed to save the reputation of the New York Stock Exchange when it got its hand caught in the till.
Right.
The awful thing about this, Dave, yeah. is that all of this was really condoned by the SEC, permitting it, permitting the New York Stock Exchange to get away
right.
From its responsibilities in this fashion.
Another example of how the Securities and Exchange Commission is not really there to protect the public, it's there to protect Wall Street. Dominic, we have a question from Sharan Harper for you.
Is there now or has there ever been any movement toward prosecuting those responsible in the higher levels of the stock exchange?
Well, what happened was when the lawyers brought to the attention of the government the fact that the high officials of the stock exchange had permitted this practice back in 98 and 99, there was an investigation of the New York Stock Exchange, but it petered out. To my knowledge, no senior official of the New York Stock Exchange has been indicted for this conduct, whereas several brokers were indicted for this conduct. After the U.S. attorney discovered, though, what had occurred, the U.S. attorney's office did not press the original charges made against these brokers. In fact, one of them was exonerated entirely. But the SEC settled the case with the New York Stock Exchange in June of 1999 by slapping him on the wrist. The SEC didn't even make a finding that it was the New York Stock Exchange and its senior officials, including Mr. Donaldson and Mr. Grasso, who had approved all of this conduct. They didn't even make that finding. They just, in essence, they said, please monitor your brokers better. They did that in June of 1999.
In a related matter, there's a wire story from this from yesterday, actually. State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer Sunday said he will soon offer a package of reforms intended to curb malfeasance on Wall Street. Spitzer said he will ask for state legislation in 2 or 3 weeks to require brokerage firms to be honest in their recommendation of stocks and to crack down on companies that mislead investors with inflated stock ratings. What do you think this will mean in terms of Wall Street and the stock exchange?
Well, I mean, it's always important to have those kinds of reforms, but the underlying evil that I'm addressing here mm-hmm. actually is much broader than what Spitzer is trying to do. I mean, we're talking here over the years of hundreds of floor brokers being involved in sharing profits with their customers, that is, trading on the floor for accounts in which they had a financial interest, all with the approval of the New York Stock Exchange. The losses to the public here, in terms of injury over the years, over a decade, you know, far exceed billions and billions of dollars. It's even bigger than the harm that Spitzer is trying to address with these recent reforms.
What is exactly happening in terms of how the public is being informed about financial works, about business dealings, Wall Street, the SEC, in terms of media coverage and what, John Q. Public knows about what's really happening? Do we hear things about reforms that lead us to believe that things are being set right when they're not? Is this normal? What exactly,
well,
in sum, is happening?
Well, let me say that the way this particular matter, it's something that I know about, and I do know about this particular case. The way this case was addressed by law enforcement is really an abomination. I mean, rather than investigating and prosecuting the people who were really responsible for this awful debacle at the New York Stock Exchange, prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office and in the SEC chased and prosecuted really people who weren't involved criminally in this mess, and they let go the people who were really responsible for it. And now I'm talking about people like Mr. Donaldson, who was involved in the decision to permit this practice back in the early 1990s, and Mr. Grasso, who was involved as chairman of the New York Stock Exchange in 1998 when this was going on. That's the real unfair practice which occurred in this case. I mean, the people who were really responsible were let go. The people who were not responsible were hounded.
What then is the cure?
Well, the cure to this particular matter is for the government to activate its investigation and to bring to justice the people who actually were involved in wrongdoing. That's the cure in this particular matter. This matter has been giving publicity, though. It got publicity in the Wall Street Journal in 1998 and 1999 concerning what occurred. I mean, there are documents that support everything that I am saying with respect to the involvement of highest senior officials of the New York Stock Exchange in the early 1990s. I mean, documents that show that they knew that what was going on, that the decision to permit this trading was illegal. In fact, there are notes that were prepared by certain people that made it clear that nothing was supposed to be put in writing about these decisions, and that formal documentation was to be prepared.
And these were handwritten notes.
Yes, there were handwritten notes. In fact, I have them right in front of me now, on which there's been public reports.
So you have copies of the actual handwritten notes?
I do have these, and I got these in connection with the litigation that occurred in 1998. In fact, there are memos that I'm looking at right now, which are addressed to Mr. Donaldson and Mr. Grasso, which deal with this subject in early 1992.
Right to Donaldson? So the guy who Bush wants to head the SEC to protect the public, these notes are to Donaldson?
Memos are to Donaldson. Donaldson was deeply involved in the decision to permit this illegal trading in 1992 and 1993. This matter came under review at the New York Stock Exchange. Not everybody at the New York Stock Exchange was running afoul of the law. There were people at the exchange who were complaining that this practice should stop. People who were asserting that the whole thing was illegal and it was ultimately going to one day erupt in an awful scandal. And obviously these people saw the future pretty well. People like Donaldson and Grasso, however, disagreed with them and wanted the practice to continue. I tried to say initially in our discussion that there was a financial motivation for the New York Stock Exchange because they were receiving money as a result of this.
Right.
Well, let me just read from one memo to Mr. Grasso. The date of it is January 16, 1992. And what I'm about to read you relates to an important meeting that occurred before a prestigious committee of the Stock Exchange the day before on January 15, 1992, in which the whole thing was reviewed and it was decided to let it go forward, to let it continue. And the memo to Mr. Grasso and Mr. Donaldson of January 16 talks about the fact that nothing should be in writing about this issue, that the members should not be told in what's called an information memo about it. An information memo is a document that is distributed to all of the members and obviously becomes public. Right. Quote, since the latter, meaning the information memo, could result in unwarranted media attention, end quote. What I'm trying to say to you is that the very people who were running the New York Stock Exchange at that time were well aware that this practice was illegal, yet they permitted it to continue and concealed it.
Right.
Indeed, in another review in 1993, the next year, because people continued to protest at the New York Stock Exchange that, you know, this conduct was a scandal.
Right.
In 1993, and the date on this is June 21, 1993, somebody prepared handwritten notes of instructions given by a senior official at the New York Stock Exchange concerning this practice. This practice was called flipping, or intraday trading. And these notes say in large caps, quote, do not discuss with SEC, end quote. Again, Mr. Donaldson was chairman of the New York Stock Exchange at this time.
Unbelievable. So these are actually cover-up documents.
Correct. These are documents that show that the senior officials at the New York Stock Exchange were aware that this conduct was going on. They were aware it was common, and they also were aware it was illegal.
In fact, the next year, in October of 93, as you told me, there was an NYSE board decision not to eliminate flipping.
Yes, what happened was exactly that. The matter was again reviewed in 1993, and the board and the review from another prestigious committee of the New York Stock Exchange culminated in a recommendation to the board of directors, which Mr. Donaldson and Mr. Grasso were sitting, that this practice be prohibited because it was permitting brokers to trade for their own accounts on the floor, which is illegal. The board rejected the recommendation. The practice continued. It continued in 1993 and ultimately culminated in 1998 with the disclosure of everything that occurred.
Right. So they were
rather than the SEC and the U.S. Attorney's Office then chasing the people who made the decision,
right,
who were responsible for the debacle, they chased a few brokers.
So why didn't they go after the people responsible?
Well, you know, I can't.
I
assume that, you know, that they were too big.
They were too big. So, in other words, if a little guy does something wrong, they come after you guns a-blazing. But if somebody like Donaldson or Grasso does something wrong, then, hey, you know what? Grasso's a hero now, right?
Well,
let's not bother him.
Well, again, I don't know what was motivating the SEC in 1998 and 1999. All I know that is that the evidence was clear then, it is clear now, that people like Donaldson and Grasso were deeply involved in this misconduct.
They were violating U.S. securities laws.
Yeah, deeply involved in this misconduct, which began in the early 1990s and continued right up until 1998. And nothing happened to them at all.
But your clients,
I want to make sure, just a minute, make sure you understand. Donaldson left the New York Stock Exchange in 1995.
Right.
Mr. Grasso succeeded him.
June 1st, right.
Yes, but Donaldson was involved in the decision in the early 1990s to permit this practice and to continue this practice. After he left in 1995, Grasso became chairman of the New York Stock Exchange and did, in fact, continue this practice, continue to permit this trading right up until February of 1999 when the U.S. Attorney's Office got involved and started arresting people.
Right. Okay. So in other words, as you said, there are documents where the public can review this, and, of course, the most substantial one is on the SEC's own website where they have that administrative proceeding in the matter of the New York Stock Exchange. Where they censured them on June 29th, 1999. What is a censure?
Well, the problem with that, though, Dave, is that they didn't go far enough. The censure was an admonishment, in effect, for, you know, not better monitoring what was going on. In fact, they only went maybe a quarter of the way to where they should have gone at that time. Yes, the New York Stock Exchange was not only involved in not properly monitoring what was going on, they were involved in permitting it.
So they stole billions of dollars legally, and the only people who took the heat were a couple of floor brokers. And what happened to these floor brokers? Did they completely destroy their lives? Or?
Well, you know, this hounding is still going on at the New York Stock Exchange, where the Stock Exchange is even now trying to push out people who were involved in this practice in the past. And all of these people are taking the same position and have taken the same position over the years, is that the only thing they were doing in the past was what was approved. But the New York Stock Exchange's current position has been, well, they didn't really know, the New York Stock Exchange really didn't know what was going on. And
right.
They were, as I said earlier, and continue to hound these people out. I mean, the whole thing is an awful debacle of unfairness.
Well, let me ask you this then. We have Donaldson, William Donaldson, who is expected to be up for nomination in front of the Senate at the end of this month. Hopefully they will pay attention to this broadcast. What do you think his chances are of getting approved?
Dave, to tell you the truth, I have no idea what's going on down there in that frenzy of political activity. I have no idea. I do want to say, though, come back to one thing that you say, make sure that there's some clarity on it, where you say that they stole billions of dollars.
Right.
That's really an overstatement. It's not clear in terms of what occurred. What is going on here is the Stock Exchange is permitting its members to really compete with public orders.
Right.
It's not that the stock exchange is taking all that money itself and stealing
right,
it.
Right, they're
from
competing
somebody.
Against the public when they have privileged information, and they should be giving the public the best price.
Correct.
Dominic, we're going to have to cut the show short right now because we're coming up on the hour, but I want to thank you so much for joining us and explaining to the audience exactly how the New York Stock Exchange violated the public trust and got away with it.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, not so much on behalf of myself, but on behalf of the people here, many of these independent floor brokers, honest guys and women who got screwed. Thank you.